can do so. Sometimes, when we encounter unpleasant circumstances or personal problems, we become unhappy and lose our tempers. Who makes us so unhappy, so angry? Probably all those unfavorable conditions, enemies, and people stirring up trouble. This is another example of the speaker had no intention, the listener interpreted it to be so. Perhaps the speaker had no intention to upset us, but we interpreted what was said to be deliberate, feeling uncomfortable and miserable, so we may burst out in anger. We may manage some control and keep it inside, whatever our merit is gone. Why would all of our merit be lost with just a small bit of anger? Because we have lost our purity of mind. Therefore, all the teachings and attainment are based on patience and deep concentration. Not only is concentration the key to our cultivation in transcending the six realms, but the key to worldly teachings as well. To remain unmoved by slander is deep concentration, is wisdom revealed. To get angry due to slander is a manifestation of our karmic obstacles. We can choose whether to have our wisdom revealed or our karmic obstacles manifested. The choice is up to us. Are these encounters good for us? Where practitioners are concerned, yes. It is a good training ground for us to constantly have someone causing trouble for us. For to have things not going as we wish helps our practice. If we do not cultivate under such circumstances, then how could we hope to achieve? Therefore, the presence of adverse conditions and affinities provide just the right opportunity for us to discipline ourselves and to practice the paramita of patience. We cannot be thankful enough for these opportunities, much less complain about them. How can we possibly get angry? This is instead just the right time for us to train ourselves. In the past, the method people used in helping a person to learn discipline was to teach them the practice of the paramita of patience. If they regarded this person as having potential and being trainable, then they would not look upon this person with pleasant expressions. They would purposely pick on them at every opportunity, acting as if they disliked the person. This was to see whether this person was able to be patient, able to endure the harassment. If the person was unable to endure and left, then they were forgotten. If we cannot endure, if we cannot be patient, then we cannot attain achievement. even if we are exceptional in all other areas, if we do not have the patience to endure, then there is a limit to our achievement. In the valuable teachings of Zen, we read of an old monk who severely mistreated one particular student. He constantly reproached and verbally abused the student every time he saw him. One time, when the student was washing his feet, he purposely took the dirty water and poured it over the student. But the student would not leave. Later, the old monk got really angry, kicked him out, and refused to allow him to even come back. The student had no alternative. Unable to stay near his master, he stayed in a distant hallway in the temple, far away from his master. But when the old monk lectured, he would listen outside the window, not letting the old monk see him. After 1 year had passed, it was time for the old monk to pass on the teachings, to retire and choose a new abbot to take his place. No one knew whom the old monk would choose. The old monk asked those who were present to go outside and bring in the student who was listening outside the window, to bring him in so that he could pass on the teachings and the abbotship to this student. Only then did everybody realize that for all those years, the old monk had been purposely training the student. If we were to give up every time we encounter some small unpleasantness and are unwilling to be patient and to accept the torment, we will not achieve. No matter how outstanding or excellent we are in other areas, we cannot attain achievement. The key to success or failure in all teachings lies in patience and endurance. If we can patiently endure, we will achieve deep concentration. And with deep concentration, we will uncover our true wisdom and not be affected by any external conditions. Sometimes we see new people with excellent qualities at a way place, but after only a short time they leave. The residents will smile, thinking it really does not matter. If people do not have the patience to endure, they cannot achieve. It would not matter whether one person, more or less, who could not achieve stayed at the way place. Those who are short-sighted would consider the loss of a person to be sad. But in the end, it is not so. A truly talented person is one who has attained deep concentration and wisdom, for only with these will we be able to pass on the teachings of the Buddhas, thus enabling Buddhism to remain in this world. Without deep concentration, we will not attain the wisdom. And first, we have to have the patience and endurance to attain the concentration. If we have the wisdom to recognize a true way place where we can learn from those who can help us on the path to awakening, then no matter how they mistreated us, we would not leave. If we have not yet obtained the learning, how would we be willing to leave? Only when we had learned everything can we leave. Only by doing so are we truly seeking to learn the teachings. If we cannot endure the slightest disagreeable circumstance, if we just left, then we would have been useless, and it would have been pointless to keep us. The words in this passage from the book are very important, for they are a wonderful way to end slander and disputes. We simply ignore them. Even the worst will fade. Therefore, when people slander us, do not dispute, do not debate. Thus it is said, no benefit, but rather harm is derived from getting angry. At work, a superior will not give an important project or promotion to someone who constantly loses his or her temper. When a supervisor tries to assess the worthwhileness, the trainability of a subordinate, he or she will observe the way that the individual acts with others on a daily basis to see if this person is worth training, is worth another promotion. When they observe that we are easily angered, then they will know that we are not worth training, because our anger will only cause difficulties. From the book, there are other faults and offenses we can change. If we can understand the reasoning behind the need for reform, we will not repeat any mistakes. End quote. These two sentences are the highest principles underlying our ability to change. Mahayana Buddhists adopt this method as it is faster for us to achieve with it. Others change themselves through actions, which are like the branches and leaves of a tree. It is easy to repeat mistakes using this method because it is to change on the outside, action by action, very difficult. Also, it is very painstaking and time-consuming to gain a good result by this method, for it is more difficult than changing through reasoning. It is much wiser to change through reasoning than through action, for the mind is the root, and everything arises from the mind, from the book. What is meant by changing from the heart? Although we have thousands of different types of faults, they all stem from the heart, from the mind. End quote. Positive and negative karma are created by our minds, as is the entire universe. The Buddha told us in the Flower Adornment Sutra that the nature of the Dharma realms arises from our mind. Nature is the essence. Essence is the mind. How do Mahayana Bodhisattvas enter the hell realms when they go there to help the sentient beings? By understanding the principle that everything arises from our minds. We learn from the Earth Treasure Sutra to break through the doors of hell. This is explained in the Flower Adornment Sutra. What is hell? A creation of our minds. Understanding this, we will learn that there are no gates to hell. We can go and come freely. So we can correct our faults by starting to change from our minds and practicing good deeds. If we practice from our minds, then even a tiny good deed, like freely giving a penny to a beggar, would be of infinite virtue, infinite merit. Why? Because it comes from the great compassion that is brought forth from our true nature. It is boundless broad-mindedness. Because it arises from our mind, the good fortune from it is infinite, for it accords with our true nature. However, if the good deed arises solely from our actions, then it is a small merit, for it did not arise from our true nature. How then do we reform from our mind? Through sincerity. We do so by cultivating from the mind, by wanting to correct all our offenses, practicing good deeds, and refraining from wrongdoings. When we correct from the mind, there is no such thing as should or should not. It is necessary to meet the requirements when reforming ourselves by realizing the principles. When we reform from the mind, it is unconditional, pure, and sincere. In this way, giving rise to even the slightest good thought will connect with our true nature. Knowing that everything arises from our minds, we would do well to start to correct our faults from our minds. From the text. If my heart is still of thoughts, then actions will not arise and faults can be avoided. End quote. This is an unsurpassed principle. Purity of mind can cancel the negative karma accumulated over infinite past eons. How can we attain purity of mind, stillness of thought? Through the unmoved mind, which is deep concentration. In the Buddha name chanting method, this is called one mind undisturbed. once we attain this state, all of our negative karma will be eradicated. However, when a new wandering thought arises, our negative karma will again materialize. For example, when we are watching TV and turn it off, there is no longer a picture, only a clear screen. When we again turn on the TV, the picture will reappear. The karmic phenomena stored in the mind of sentient beings is the same. When our minds are in deep concentration and calm, none of the karmic phenomena will manifest. When our minds give rise to wandering thoughts, the karmic obstacles will again materialize. Understanding this, we would do well to nurture purity of mind, the state of not giving rise to one single wandering thought. As Master Kuan Yin said, the true mind originally contains nothing, therefore collects no dust. We need to know that karmic obstacles exist in our false mind, not in our true mind. Originally, our true mind was pure. It still is pure. An example of this is wearing eyeglasses. Originally, our eyes were pure. When our glasses are covered with dust, our vision is blurred. There is nothing wrong with our eyes. The problem is with the glasses. Where are our karmic obstacles? They are the contamination, the dust on the glasses. There is no obstacle within our eyes. When we completely eradicate the contamination, the dust, as well as the glasses, we will have pure vision to see perfectly. This is the same as uncovering our true nature to become Buddhas. If we wear glasses, there is still a barrier. Then we are ordinary people, sentient beings. Once we can rid ourselves of these obstacles, then we are Buddhas. What kind of mind are we now using? The deluded mind, not the true mind. There is no hindrance in the true mind. When we try to see everything with our naked eyes, it is like observing things with glasses of delusion, seeing the external environment through a layer of delusion. This delusion is the 8 consciousnesses and 51 mind objects. Glasses that have been heavily contaminated. We then interact with the external environment through the 8 consciousnesses and 51 mind objects. Therefore, the environment has changed to that of the 6 dusts. If we do not apply these consciousnesses and mind objects to see the external environment, then we do not see the environment of the 6 dusts, but that of the true nature. So we would see the nature of form, listen to into the nature of sound and transfer the six dusts or pollutants to the nature of our senses. This will purify our minds, enabling us to be able to see our true natures, to become Buddhas. Now, our biggest problem is that we simply cannot rid ourselves of these glasses, of the eight consciousnesses, of the 51 mind objects. The goal of Buddhist practice is to teach us to let go of these, to transform consciousness into wisdom. Wisdom is the functioning of our true nature. Consciousness is the functioning of the deluded mind. It is the function of the eight consciousnesses and 51 mind objects. People who are below the level of Theravada sages will still use these consciousnesses and mind objects. Thus, arhats, prajñā buddhas, and Theravada bodhisattvas have yet to clarify their true nature to become Buddhas. They know how to regret through actions, through understanding the principles. But they do not yet know how to change from the mind, from the heart. Why? They do not yet know where their heart is. As we learned in the Surangama Sutra, Venerable Ananda was very smart, but he did not know where his heart was. In the beginning of the Surangama assembly, Buddha Shakyamuni asked Venerable Ananda where was his heart. Ananda could not answer, for he did not know what or where it was. How can we regret from our heart if we do not even truly know what our true heart is? For Mahayana bodhisattvas in truth teaching, the level of bodhisattva above the first dwelling in perfect teaching, 41 Dharma body bodhisattvas described in the Flower Adornment Sutra that their way of regretting is to feel deep remorse and to reform themselves from the mind. We will better understand this once we study the Flower Adornment Sutra, particularly Sudana's visits to the 53 spiritual guides. How did Sudana practice? These 53 spiritual advisors represent bodhisattvas of perfect teaching from the level of first dwelling to the highest, the level of equal enlightenment. They manifested as men and women, young and old, from all walks of life. The genuine practice of Buddhism is comprised of principle, examples, and practical explanations for us to follow. The 40 facile version of the Flower Adornment Sutra is peerless. Although we might not be able to study the complete sutra, the chapter on universal worthy bodhisattvas, conduct and vow, is very important. We need to know how to apply this most outstanding teaching so that modern people will incorporate it into their daily living. This is an excellent sutra for sincere cultivation and is worthy of being widely propagated. Following this principle, ancient virtuous people have often provided us with the guidance to help us generate the Bodhi mind and to be constantly mindful of Buddha Amitabha, regardless of our circumstances. Is this really reasonable? To single-mindedly chant Amitabha all day and all night, to reduce our wandering thoughts into one thought of Amitabha. Is Amitabha good or bad? Neither. It is separate from the duality of good and bad, and this accords with our true nature. Good and bad is duality, and this duality only exists in our conscious mind, not in our true mind. We will naturally attain enlightenment when we have been constantly mindful of Buddha Amitabha for a long time. Among 84,000 methods, this method is unsurpassed. If we cannot attain achievement due to our insufficient efforts, it is all right because we can still see Buddha Amitabha. And once we see him, we will uncover our true nature. This expedient and convenient way cannot be found in other methods. In other methods, if we do not attain enlightenment, we will not be considered as having achieved. It is not necessary for us to be able to witness the true nature when we practice constant mindfulness of Buddha Amitabha. But if we can see Buddha Amitabha, then we are considered as having achieved attainment. How do we cultivate the mind? We do so when we are constantly mindful of Buddha Amitabha. All of our negative karma will be eliminated when we single-mindedly and sincerely chant Amitabha with utmost sincerity. How could Buddha Amitabha have any negative karma? Buddha Amitabha is true and perfect goodness. It is not the goodness of good or bad. That kind of goodness is relative. True goodness is separate from duality. It is the absolute great goodness. From the text. If our heart is rooted in faults such as desire, fame, profit, or anger, we do not have to find ways to get rid of each fault. End quote. This is just to give us some examples. We have millions of faults. But we do not have to find each and every one of them. Those practitioners specializing in abiding by the precepts do so by disciplining their behavior. They think about what went wrong. They think about how many mistakes they committed every day. They carefully think of each and every one and then correct them one by one. They not only reflect on their behavior daily, but also keep a record of their merits and faults. This method of record keeping can work very well for some. Each of us has a different personality and character related to our habits accumulated over infinite lifetimes. Mahayana practitioners, however, do not practice in this way. On the other hand, Theravada practitioners are very happy to practice this method and derive benefit from it. Different people, different characters, thus different principles, different methods. There are many practitioners in China, Tibet, Korea, and Japan who practice Mahayana Buddhism. However, in South Asia, Thailand, and Sri Lanka, most practitioners are Theravada. They end their erroneous ways and practice good deeds to change their behavior, whereas Mahayana practitioners refrain from wrongdoing and practice kind deeds through reasoning and changing from the heart. This is to cultivate from the heart, the root, the origin, from the text. All we need is a sincere, kind heart and the willingness to practice good deeds. As long as our heart is virtuous and kind, then naturally our mind will not generate any improper thoughts. This is an excellent method, simple and clear. However, if we do not have true wisdom, we still cannot achieve. Why? Because of doubts. Because of wondering how it could be possible for us to eradicate all of our offenses that we have committed. We doubt. We do not believe. We cannot accept. When we hear that we are to concentrate our mind on Buddha Amitabha and to seek birth into the Western Pure Land, we still think that since we have committed so many wrongdoings, how can we possibly go to the Western Pure Land? We would be ashamed to see Buddha Amitabha. Not only this, we would not even dare to pay our respects to the image of the Buddha in a way place, thinking that our offenses are simply too heavy. It would be embarrassing to see him. If we think this way, then it would be better to regret and reform through behavior. For at least if we corrected one fault when we discovered it, our minds would be more settled. Those who can accept the Pure Land method possess good roots, good fortune, causes, conditions. If we did not already have the best root nature, it would be impossible for us to accept the Buddha name chanting method. Once we do accept it and practice earnestly, then we can neutralize the transgressions accumulated over infinite lifetimes with the merit of our chanting. The Pure Land is a gathering place for the assembly of utmost virtuous people. Once we are born into it, we are a member of this assembly and are equal to such virtuous people as Universal Worthy Bodhisattva, Great Strength Bodhisattva, Great Compassion Bodhisattva, and Great Wisdom Bodhisattva. As Mr. Mianzu Huang stated in his commentary on the Infinite Life Sutra, the Pure Land Method is for sentient beings of supreme root nature. Who are those with this supreme root nature? Those who believe, vow, and practice to be born into the Pure Land. Master Huineng only taught those with supreme root natures. However, his students, although they had achieved, could not maintain their level of achievement. Pure Land practitioners with utmost capabilities will never regress, for they have perfectly achieved the three non-regressions. The students of Master Huineng achieved the three non-regressions, but not perfectly. The Pure Land Method is unsurpassed. We are unbelievably fortunate to have encountered it. But it is no accident that we have done so. It is due to the maturing of our good roots, good fortunes, causes, and conditions that we have accumulated for infinite eons. And this is why we have encountered this method. To practice good deeds with one sincere mind means to have no wandering thoughts, no second thought. Proper and virtuous thought is the first thought, is the absolute and ultimate proper thought. Also, it is to chant Amitabha, to practice constant mindfulness of Buddha Amitabha, and to wholeheartedly seek birth into the Pure Land. The most marvelous way to reform and reduce our karmic obstacles is to have no wandering thoughts. It does not mean having no proper thoughts. If we are without proper thoughts, then we are ignorant. Wandering thoughts are discriminatory thoughts and attachments. It is not easy for ordinary people to achieve the state of no wandering thoughts. However, everyone can achieve this by practicing the Buddha name chanting method. What is meant by proper thought revealed? It is Amitabha. Amitabha is the most truthful and ultimate proper thought. The only important issue in our life is to constantly maintain proper thought, not to cling to deviated and erroneous thoughts. We would do well to be constantly mindful of Buddha Amitabha, day and night, without interruption. If we can continue our cultivation in this way, then we will receive wonderful results after 3 months. if we constantly maintain mindfulness of Buddha Amitabha, with this one thought, we are assured of reducing our wandering thoughts. It is impossible for us not to have any wandering thoughts. Certainly we will have some. Do not be afraid of them. Thoughts of Buddha Amitabha will occupy us the most. 6 or 7 out of 10 thoughts are of Buddha Amitabha, with only 3 or 4 wandering thoughts. No matter. But if we are not mindful of Buddha Amitabha, then our minds will be filled with wandering thoughts. If we can continue constant mindfulness of Buddha Amitabha for 3 months, letting the thoughts of Buddha Amitabha increase, our wandering thoughts will decrease. Then we will be at ease and free in spirit. Our minds will become more serene, and our savoring the Dharma joy will indicate that our karmic obstacles have been reduced. In the past, our minds